I think it was in April, Linda and I had a King James Bible conference. We went out to Pennsylvania. It was an interesting trip to go out to Pennsylvania. Then we got to go to the place that's on the Monopoly board. There was a gun shop that I wanted to see. It was owned by one of the members of the church. It was in Reading, Pennsylvania. You know, you've heard of the Reading Railroad. Everybody pronounces it Reading, but they call it Reading, Pennsylvania. It was there. But I'm always on the lookout for good material that motivates me and inspires me to preach a sermon. I look for outlines. I look for pamphlets. I'm looking for everything. I have files that I put there. I picked one up there at that church, a pamphlet that kind of got a message percolating in my brain. But are any of you with the Verizon cell phone network? Can I see your hands? All right. And you know for a long time what their slogan was. Can you hear me now? Indeed. The Verizon telephone company and their actor, his name is Paul Marcuselli, popularized the phrase, "Can you hear me now?" And what, of course, they were trying to get across to you is that when you make a phone call on the Verizon network, now I don't know whether it's true, it's certainly not true on the Sprint network, but anyway, that's the one that I have. Mine is, "Can you hear me yet?" And it breaks up my text messages since they switched over to the 4G system. It breaks up my text messages into about 47 pieces. But anyhow, Verizon is supposed to be the network where you can be heard. That's their claim, at least. I have adapted that into a message called, "Father, Can You Hear Me Now?" Our most important communication is not so much with communication with others, but our most important communication of all is the communication that we have with our Heavenly Father. And the question that we need to say is, can my Father in heaven hear me now? That's our most important communication. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Can my Heavenly Father hear me now? Here's what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. It says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything," now here is the operative phrase of that, "according to" what? "His will." If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. Again, the operative phrase is "according to His will." If we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. That obviously means that it's very possible that He does not hear us if what we pray is not according to His will. So, how do we pray according to His will so that we're assured that He hears our prayers and He answers them? Actually, the Bible is pretty clear on that. If we want to be heard, then we can know that there are some things that hinder our prayers. And so I'm going to go through those this evening. Number one, hindered by errors. Hindered by errors. Our prayers can be hindered by errors. What do I mean by that? Well, the most common error in prayer is found in James chapter 4, verse 2. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to James chapter 4, down in verse 2. The first part of the verse says, "You lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight in war." And here is the phrase that I'm going to be looking at: "Ye have not, because ye ask not." You don't have because you don't ask. I was just trying, and I was going to ask Lynn, and I forgot. But we went with my mother one place, and didn't one of our kids pull the fire alarm? Which kid was it? It was my son, Steve. We went to where my mother was going to junior college, and so we walked in to see where her class was and what she was learning, and my son wasn't really acquainted with those things and saw the fire alarm and reached up and said, "What's this?" And off went the fire alarm, and my dad gathered up Steve and my mom, and we hustled out to the car. We didn't even stay around. We just took off. I'm going, "Oh, man." But you see, a lot of people treat prayer like that. They look at prayer like a fire alarm, and they only pull it in an emergency. Prayer is just an emergency thing. That's an error. We need to make prayer a precedence in our life. You have not because you ask not. I know life is busy. Recently somebody was just telling me, how busy and how packed their life was. And I wanted to do this, but I know that it isn't proper. You know what this is? That's baby violins. You know what it's playing? My heart bleeds for you. Now, I didn't do that, but that's what I wanted to do. I have a packed life as well, but I want to tell you stuff. I pray regularly that the Lord will help me to make proper priorities in my life. I go to bed every night with things undone. One of the things that should not be undone is having a prayer time. I'm usually up at 5:30 in the morning or so. For some reason, the other morning I slept in till 7 o'clock, and it was the day that my dad's nurse gets there at about 7:15, and so I looked at the clock, and I thought the clock was wrong. The clock was not wrong. My biological clock was wrong. So I am whizzing out of bed. My wife is whizzing out of bed. We're throwing on clothes. My hair just looked like. So, what did I do? I didn't have time to comb my hair. And so what I did was put on a ball cap. Everybody wears a ball cap in the morning, I am sure. But what I felt really guilty about is very early in the morning, my wife and I have our prayer time, have our Bible reading time, and I did not get it in that day. I read the Bible later in the day, and I certainly prayed on all throughout the day, but she and I need our prayer time. What I'm saying is, if you don't make prayer a priority in your life, if you're just going to fit it in when you think you can fit it in, the devil's going to be sure that you don't fit it in. The big error is you have not because ye ask not. Now, the second error we make is thinking that we can pray to the Heavenly Father when He is not our Heavenly Father. I know people who are unsaved who pray all the time. And they count their rosary beads and they do all that kind of things. Jesus makes it very clear that there's two families on earth. The persons who are born into the family of man are children of the devil. John chapter 8, "You are your father of the devil and your father's will you will do." So we're all born in the dominion of darkness. We're all children of the devil. Adam's the leader. The second family is the family who are born again. John 3:3 says you must be born again. That's into God's family. But as many as receive him, John 1:12, to them gave you the power to become the sons of God. I had somebody tell me on visitation one time, I probably pray more than you do. I said, yes, but is Jesus Christ your personal Savior? They said, I'm a Catholic. Well, that wasn't the question. You know, I'm a pizza. You know, that's not, you know. The point of the matter is that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There are many people who make the grave error of praying to the Father when he is not their Father. They're in the dominion of darkness. They're children of the devil. And they're expecting God to hear him. And the only thing he wants to hear is the cry, God be merciful to me, a sinner, and save my soul. So there's a lot of people who make that second error. They pray to the Heavenly Father when he is not their Heavenly Father. The third mistake is people often make in prayer the mistake of trying to go to some other intermediary. I have read material where people say, you know, pray to your saint. Well wait a minute. I'm not going to pray to myself. I'm a saint. I'm a real saint. But they're talking about somebody who's been canonized by the Catholic Church. I've heard people say the best way, and Christians say, well, pray to the Holy Spirit. No. You'll not find that. The Holy Spirit makes groanings that cannot be uttered on our behalf. Actually, we are to pray to God the Father. We're not even to pray to Jesus. We are to pray to God the Father through Jesus Christ or in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I think it's perfectly fine to do it myself to conclude my prayers often in Jesus' name, amen. Now, that's perfectly fine to do that, but I want you to know that when you're praying in the name of Jesus Christ, the word name in the scripture represents character, and it means we are to pray in his character. Now, one pastor explained it this way. The word name means all that Jesus is. So praying in his name is asking what is consistent with who he is. Example, Father, this I ask because I know this is what Jesus would want. Or to put it in my own words, if Jesus would not make the request, we should not do so either. Some people make such stupid requests. I was talking with somebody a long time ago, and he said, well, I prayed that the Lord would help me win the lottery. You know what? That isn't wise stewardship of your money. That's a stupid prayer. That is not what Jesus would require. I cannot picture Jesus saying, oh, Lord, you know, help me win the lottery. No, that's not consistent. So praying in the name of Jesus not only recognizes the fact that he is the mediator, and as 1 Timothy 2:5 says, there is how many mediators? One mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. But when we are praying in Jesus' name, we are praying consistently with his character, and if Jesus would not make the request, my friends, neither should we. The fourth error that is often made is thinking that our holy heavenly Father will hear unholy children. Now, I want you to think about that. Turn with me to Psalm 66, verse 18. In Psalm 66, verse 18, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, if I regard sin, iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You know, if you got a unconfessed sin in your life, you need to understand that how can you expect a holy father to hear an unholy child who is rebellious to the things of the Lord? The prayer that the Lord wants to hear is according to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, and you know what confess means? It means to agree with God relating to that thing. We agree that it's wrong. We agree that it's against God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You know, what we need to do is reestablish our relationship by agreeing with God that what we did is sin, and by asking His forgiveness. It's really ridiculous to expect a loving Father to grant our prayer request if we're living in rebellion against Him. I mean, you're living in immorality, you're living in hatred towards somebody, you're living in unrighteous anger towards somebody, and then you're going to expect God to answer your prayers? You know, I ran across a verse that's very startling this evening when I was doing this message. I want you to turn with me to Proverbs 28 and verse 9. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9. Prayer from an unholy child, actually, according to this verse, is an abomination to the Lord. You're living in sin. You're praying to God. Let's listen to what Proverbs 28, 9 says. It was actually quite shocking. And I've read through Proverbs a number of times, but this one stuck out like a sore thumb and poked me right in the eye. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, hearing the truth, hearing the law. Now look at this. What does it say? This isn't what I say. This is what the Word of God says. Even his prayer shall be what? Abomination. Ooh, doggies. I mean, we're talking about big time things here. So, what hinders your prayer? Well, thinking that an unholy child can live in sin and have his prayers answered by God. That's, wow. That's something else. God does promise to answer the prayer of His obedient children. I want to turn the other side of the coin now and have you look at Psalm 84 and verse 11. It says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. And then He says this, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. God is going to bless those that walk uprightly. It's like Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight shall be in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. Well, so there's the first thing. Our prayers are hindered by errors. And the second thing is our prayers are hindered by misuses. This is kind of along the same line as as the fourth one we've looked at, thinking that the Holy Heavenly Father will hear an unholy child. But this is praying with a wrong motive. God is not going to hear that. Let's look at James chapter 4 and verse 3. James 4 and 3 says, "Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust, your own selfish desires." I've said it numerous times before, but God is not our cosmic genie. He isn't sitting up there saying, "Your wish is my command." If we pray with the wrong motive, we will not be heard, according to James chapter 4 and verse 3. Reuben Archer Torrey, I have several of his books, A Man in the 18 and 1900s, said it this way: "The true purpose in prayer is that God may be glorified in the answer," end quote. As our opening verse said, to be heard, prayer must be according to His will. And the psalmist says that it is to flow from a delight in Him. Turn with me to Psalm 37, verse 4. Psalm 37 and verse 4, the psalmist writes, "Delight thyself also in the Lord." And now note this: "Delight thyself also in the Lord." And if you don't have this one underlined, you ought to. "And He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Now, you know what? If you delight yourself in the Lord, you're not going to want the wrong thing. You're going to want the right thing. And so it's very, very interesting as we look at Psalm 37 and verse 4, the things that we see there. We must remember that prayer is not given to us to get our will done in heaven, but rather it's given to us to get God's will done on earth. Jesus clearly models how our prayer should be when He says in Luke chapter 22, 42, "Not my will, but thine be done." Dads, perk up your ears. This is basically focused on you. The next thing as relating to hindered by misuses is relating to our home life. Our home life bears very heavily upon our prayer life, and it can greatly hinder it. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, "Likewise ye husbands." Aha! The target is on us, men. God's aiming at us here, as Peter, as God inspired Peter to write this. And we know that Peter was married. It said Peter led about a wife, okay? "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge." Get to know your wife. I've said many times, and it's not original with me, get to know what makes your wife tick. And get to know what makes your wife ticked. And those are two very different things. "Ye husbands, dwell with your wife according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life." Now, did you note this after the semicolon? "That your prayers be not," what? "Hindered." If our relationship with our wife is not right, then you look up that word hindered, and you'll find out that it's the Greek word that means this. That means cut off. That means the prayer line is severed. That's a pretty serious thing. Well, but my wife. Get to know what makes her tick. Get to know what makes her tick. Similarly, if we have an unforgiving attitude towards others, then we can expect that God will not hear our prayers for forgiveness. That's a tough one, and I don't say that I completely understand it, but that's what the Word says. You say, well, where does it say that? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. It's around verse 14 or 15. I was reading it. Let me just look here quick. And if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Some of the most sour, pickle-pussed, nasty Christians that I know are Christians who hold grudges and will not forgive. You say, well, they don't deserve to be forgiven. Well, let me tell you something. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How much has He forgiven you? A whole bunch. So you know what? We are to forgive others also. But there's so, yes, how many times do I have to forgive that stupid husband? How many times do I have to forgive that tormenting wife? You got a notebook? Huh? 70 times 7. You know, I believe that was given for a purpose. They weren't going to waste the paper back in that day. 407 times 7 is 49. That T-shirt, 4 out of 3 people. Well, never mind. That's a lot. If you want to know how seriously, and I'm running out of time, but if you want to know how seriously God takes all that kind of stuff, all you have to do is read Matthew chapter 18, 21 through 35. Jesus devotes an entire parable to forgiveness. The king lets the guy off the hook. Then he won't let his servant off the hook. Oh, man. Oh, man, you read that parable in Matthew chapter 18, 21 through 35. One of the greatest hindrances to prayer, you pickle-pushed Christians who refuse to forgive people. Now, maybe you're a smiling Christian who doesn't, but usually when you don't forgive somebody and you're holding a grudge, it shows on your countenance. It makes you a very negative person. Man, I'm just telling you that one of the worst hindrances to prayer is an unforgiving spirit. Dump it. Give it to the Lord. Do a Romans chapter 12 on the situation. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. That's the Lord's business. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, say, starve, sucker! No. Says, feed him. Feed my enemy? Yeah. If he's thirsty, give him to drink. For in so doing, you'll keep coals of fire on his, or sometimes her. That's my addition, head. Okay? So, not being right with your spouse, having an unforgiveness, harboring an unforgiving spirit, boy, that's going to hinder your prayers. And the third thing, perhaps the most crippling element missing in prayers is the lack
of faith. Turn with me to James chapter 1, 5 through 8.
If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now look at verse 6, James 1, 6. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man, who doesn't have faith, think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. For a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Jesus himself said, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. That is Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. In Hebrews chapter 11, which is called the Hall of Faith, it contains the admonition. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I like this little saying by E.M. Bounds. He said, only God can move mountains, but faith and prayer can move God. Faith and prayer can move God. Well, let me just conclude by this. John chapter 15, verse 7. It says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. How do you abide in Christ? By submitting to his word. Are you submitting to his word? If we want our prayers heard, then we need to stray away from those things that would hinder those prayers. So let's see what we can do to pray appropriately so that our prayers might be heard by God.